All right. Well, welcome to Four Mom Friends podcast. We are struggling.
Let's start, and I won't sing our intro. <Ba-da-ba>.
We are recording on Cinco de Mayo, so I am slightly hungover. I don't know about you ladies, but I'm going to try really hard not to burp through this episode. How are y'all doing today?
I'm good. I have a baby on me, so I'm kind of sweating.
And I'm having a spiked and sparkling seltzer.
Woo, woo. You know? I'm having a Bud Light Lime.
I'm drinking whatever my son brought me out of the fridge. But it is beer.
So I made a ton of margaritas last night. I had the whole neighborhood over. It was super impromptu, but I just texted everybody and was like, I have guacamole and margaritas. Who's coming over? And they all showed up, which was wonderful. But I drank so much tequila that I spent the entire morning on the potty. Just like shitting my brains out. It was terrible. So I couldn't have a margarita on actual Cinco de Mayo.
Weekend.
I just had to have a Bud Light Lime.
Did I ever tell you guys that's like one of my huge stories of how I met John's brother? Was I drank so much the night before that I farted so loud that he heard it from outside the room. Great first impression to give your future husband's brother.
Yep. There you go.
Yep.
Anyways, moving on. Our topic for this episode is the social media slump and how the daily barrage of celebrity influencers on social media can make a regular mom feel a lot of different emotions. Yeah. I know, obviously, with the advent of social media, we're able to see a lot of how other moms live, but I feel like it's almost a catch-22 or a double-edged sword. It's inspirational because you see these moms and you see how they're doing these things, but also at the same time, let's be real, being a mom is hard enough trying to raise a decent human being and adding the pressure of doing these fantastic Pinterest parties or, you know, all these filters, it lends itself to making you feel a little bit inferior or like you're not doing a great job.
Yeah, I recently I think I am in a slump, like just myself personally right now, at least when it comes to my body image, because it hasn't been a priority for so long. I think last year, like with the loss of the baby and the other miscarriages, like everything just became about my mental state and my family, and I didn't take care of my body. And so when I see moms who work out and moms who make time for that, I feel like I'm failing because I haven't made time for that. Even though my very compassionate self knows like it's not a priority right now, my critical self sort of tears me apart when I see other moms working out, especially other moms that have multiple children and work and, you know, maybe do something else like chair the PTA or whatever. And I'm like, I only have one kid. I can't make time for a little bit of yoga.
I mean, I work out, I make that a priority for me, but that's for me. And that's how I do it, fits into my schedule. And I don't know how other people do it differently, you know, because I've sectioned out Monday, Wednesday nights for myself to do that. And I teach Saturday mornings. But if I had to do it at any other time, it wouldn't happen.
I recently, with the social media slump I was sort of in, I went through my Instagram and I unfollowed probably 200 or more. It was a lot. It was a full-blown purge. It took a long time. I unfollowed celebrities, bachelor people that I used to love to follow. I unfollowed like fitness bloggers. I really got rid of everybody that made me feel insecure because I can do that on my own. I feel insecure on my own. I don't need help feeling insecure, you know? I don't need to add to it.
I definitely feel like you're not alone. John, my husband, recently did a purge too. And he felt like he needed to do that because he was seeing all these people have these things and it made him feel bad that he didn't have those things. Everyone's story is so different. And so the points in our lives are so, so very different. And when you see someone in a place in their life that you want to finally be in, it's hard to realize all the goodness that's around you. And I think that some people need to strive to do more is, yes, these people have great things, but we don't know their backstories. And they don't know our backstories. And we need to appreciate the things that we do have a little bit more, especially in this world of social media.
I think we've gotten away from kind of what social media and like when Facebook first came out, what it was about. It was about connecting with your friends and your family and those important to you. And now it's become this, how many people can I have? How many followers can I have? How can I be, you know, the one everybody looks up to? And can't lie about it. Everybody wants to be liked and followed, right? But I think we've gotten away from that. And I mean, I really try and keep my Instagram, I follow the people that I know. And yeah, sure, there's a few people I don't know, but I follow them because I find the content interesting and important, not just because the photos are pretty, because I think we all kind of know when you look a certain way on the outside, there's probably not a lot behind it, right? And I've recently started following more people that post the true day-to-day. So happy, sad, sick, angry, all of the above, that's what they post.
And I'm sorry, I burped right now too. I didn't know if you guys heard it or not. I tried to keep it in.
Alex, I agree. I definitely feel like the people I like following, the people I like and comment on, are the people who show the sort of every day. But I also read this article on parents.com that likened social media and parenting now to Vegas, right? So it used to sort of be like what happens in your household stays in your household. But now it's like what happens in your household, you put out there. Everybody sees you. People do choose to put out the good, the bad, and everything in between. And people are putting out the, hey, we went on this lavish Disney vacation and we bought everything under the sun. And they're also putting out the, my husband cheated on me, or we're in couples therapy, or whatever it is. And that's really, really wonderful. But at the same time, what does that do for us as the consumer of that information to see it every day? The good stuff you start to compare and say, well, why can't my family, what are they doing that they can afford a Disney vacation? We'll never go to Disney, right? Or the bad stuff, you're like, shit, couples therapy? Is that something we should do to prevent whatever? Or so-and-so got divorced. Did you see that? Like, I wonder what happened. They're a lot like us. I've always thought they were a lot like us. So now what are we going to do so that we don't end up divorced? Like, I feel like the good and the bad still permeates your mind. And it's hard to not just think about what that means for you. It's really rare that I see something and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's them. Or that's like, I don't like passively consume. Yeah, I don't usually, exactly. I don't usually passively consume their information and move on. It stirs and I think about it.
I think I just have a cold heart. I don't.
Good timing. Like, she's like,
I mean, I don't follow those people. I don't. I'm like, I love communications and I love social media, but I don't really concern myself with a lot of that information. I don't know why my voice went so high just now, but it did. I follow more like nature stuff. I think it is important, but also on the same note, though, I think when people do post stuff like that, it's either one of two things. They don't want other people to feel alone in those decisions that, or those moments that are happening in their life, or they themselves don't want to feel alone. So they want that reaffirmation from people's comments to be like, you're doing great, you're doing fine, you're doing wonderful. And I think it's great. And that's why I said before, it's kind of like that double-edged sword, because you have those, that community of people that's like you, that like spend time thinking about it and divulging it and wondering all these things and side notes and tangents. And then there's that other side that's saying, I'm not alone. Oh my gosh, thank goodness I'm not alone. And then there's people like movements that are going around now of being not alone, of getting those stories out there that are so important. So social media is a weird thing.
A tricky bitch.
And it is a tricky bitch. Totally a tricky bitch. I mean, and it's something that's so new. I mean, we grew up in the generation that didn't have iPads, you know, and it's so,
I was just
so
talking weird to somebody the other day. I was like, I remember in our, well, what was our playroom, and we had one computer, and it had, we would put a floppy disk in, and that that wasn't even that long ago.
Right? Or like how the computer games back in the day was literally just like Pong, where it was just like a small little square going across the screen. It was like,
boop. How about the original Oregon Trail? Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. And now our kids are growing up in this world, in this social media, in these instant gratification, so many ways for them to see and be exposed to so many different things. As a parent, like, how do you combat that? As for you guys, how do you have kind of like a game plan for your children on to like how to combat their emotions with social media, or what they would do on social media? What is the right age for them to have an account or anything?
I don't know that I've made any big decisions about anything, but what I can say is that I post a fair amount about Penelope. I post her name. I post her face. I don't shy away from those things where I know other people maybe choose not to say their names, their children's names, or choose to not post about like photos of their kids at all. As of now, I haven't made any major decisions to not do that. However, my nephew Finn is 6 and Penelope is only almost 4. And already at 6 years old, he has decided, Mom, I don't want you to put me on social media. So my sister Bailey has stopped putting him on social media. Or every once in a while, he'll say, Mom, that's a good photo. Like, you should put that on social media so Nana can see it, or so, you know, everyone can see it. But he's already made a conscious decision that he's uncomfortable with it. So while I don't really give, and I guess I'm sort of like, I don't know, contradicting myself here, I don't really give Penelope the choice. I also would fully respect if she ever said to me, don't do that. You know, I don't want to be on there. However, I think also the question that you're sort of asking is, at what age do your kids understand their social media presence, right? Like, we were sort of mentioning it earlier, like when we were checking in, how do you, you're telling a story about your kid through their infancy, their toddlerhood, their preschool stages. And then when they're 30 or whatever, 20 or 18, their story's already been created for them. They don't really get to create their own new story because it's already been documented and all of that. So I don't know the answer, but I feel like awareness is all I can offer my, my kid. You know, I'm aware. And if you want to have a conversation about it when you're 5 or 10, we can readjust.
You know what's interesting is you just brought up something, and I hadn't even thought about it this way, but that, you know, the story's already been created for them, and maybe this image of who they are is already out there, but maybe that's not a bad thing as well. I mean, you have these kids that don't know who they are, right? They're growing up, and for whatever reason, they go through that stage of who am I? Who am I supposed to be? Where did I come from? And you know what? If you don't know who you are, now you can look back and you can see that, you can see your life and see your story to remind yourself of who you are. You know, Elijah, yeah, you know what? At this point, I don't know that he has any concept that his photos are in the ether for people to see. He barely likes taking photos. He doesn't sit still to take a photo, but he does like watching videos back of himself. He thinks it's funny, but I don't think he gets the concept. But we have all of that, and I think it would be really interesting. I mean, I grew up watching home videos all the time, and I feel like I know so much more about the things that I did when I was younger because of that. And while we don't have these long home videos to watch, we have these little snippets, you know, of the fun, little fun moments that aren't normally caught, turn around on the ability to be able to see that, you know.
Yeah. That's what I took away from Instagram when it first started. So Hayden was born when Instagram kind of was taking off. Everybody was still on the Facebook train and Instagram had very few uploads and followers. And when I first started posting with Hayden and having his hashtag of Hayden Marcus, like, to me, that was a way for him to look back as like a digital photo book, a digital album, because I don't think anyone does. I don't know how people back in the day had time. Maybe because they didn't have social media
and they couldn't scroll on their phones and get time one photo. Like,
make photo albums. But it was a great, for me, it was a way for him to look back on his childhood and look back on, this is what was happening in 2012 and 2015 or whenever year he wants to look at. And you're right, you know, I think part of growing up, though, and finding who you are is looking back on who you've been and seeing how much you've grown. And I think that's a great tool to have, in to have unlimited access online, to have that, to see that, to know where you're going by knowing where you've been. And that's another great takeaway on social media.
I agree, Alex. I think that's a really good point. I also, like, Charlie works with students. He works at a college, and so he's always with, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and they know so much about technology that he doesn't even understand. And he's constantly saying, because they've grown up with it, Meg. They've grown up with it. It's at their, yeah. It's been at their fingertips since they were five. They totally, they can do everything and anything, and they aren't really shying away from it. So I also think this conversation that adults keep having about the effects of social media is a little bit of the, we're scared of it and we don't know it. And also we didn't have it as kids. It's that generational, this wasn't around when I was a kid, so I'm afraid of it kind of.
Back in my day.
We didn't do that. We just ran outside. So there's a little bit of fear, I think. However, I will say that I'm obviously a daughter. I have a daughter. So I worry about her sense of body, her body image and her sense of self and her identity. I'm sure, I guess, actually boy parents do as well. But I definitely don't want her self-esteem to be created or balanced off of how many Instagram likes she has or how many followers she has or all that stuff. So I think, wow, I will totally let her have social media when she's 16, 17, whatever, even 15, I'm sure. It's my job to work even harder to educate her and explain to her that those don't give her a sense of identity. That won't fill her bucket. Like this, you can totally do this. It's a subset of like entertainment and that's fine. But what fills your bucket is your family and your, you know, education and your friends and the bread you break with the people you love. Like that's going to fill your bucket. People clicking on your Facebook is not going to fill your bucket. So don't look for it too. Because you'll be disappointed.
Yeah. You know? And on that note, too, you just said that you'd allow her to be on social media at 15, 16, or whatever. What do you consider as breaking her privacy in terms of finding, you know, would you allow her to have her own password? Would you have her password so you could check the messages? I mean, this brings up a whole nother issue of social media that they could talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Catfishing, they could talk to people, they can expose themselves to things. At what age would you allow them to have social media?
To what length would you let them have it available, I guess?
You know,
to themselves as their own private account.
Yeah, accounts, I totally agree. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I feel like I do think it's per kid and per family. You know, if your kid's super immature and can't be trusted, like maybe they have to wait till they're 16. If your kid is super mature and can be trusted and also is open and has a great relationship with you, like maybe 12 or 13 is the right age. So while I hope my kid has, you know, obviously maturity and a good relationship with me, I would still probably, I don't know. I don't think I would make her give me her password so that I could check her messages. I would definitely be friends with her, right? So I would, you're going to have to be friends with me. And my mom, granted, I was 17 when we first got Facebook, but my mom was like, well, then I'm going to be on Facebook and we're going to be friends. Because whatever you're posting, you just have to remember, your mom can see this.
Yeah.
Which reminds me. Do you remember
my But I hate that I'm friends with my parents.
No, really? See, I don't mind. And part of why I'm on Facebook so much and post so much is so that my parents, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, my great aunts and uncles, all those people are on Facebook, they can see Penelope grow up because I don't have time to call every single one of them or email them in photo. So that's why I like it. But do you all remember at my bachelorette party, I specifically said, nope, this is on Facebook because my parents are on Facebook. And I was like, don't tag me in any photos. And Gina, like, 7 minutes
and I'm sorry.
Tagged like a giant penis and put my name under it. I was like, are you kidding
But it's okay
me?
Because you aren't the one in the photo with the penis popsicle. That was Gina.
Which is so ironic because your parents are way more laid back
than mine. I know.
They like probably would have been fine with it, but it's you don't like the idea that they would see you with it. That's all. Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
funny. That's why we made you the cake instead. It was not a penis cake.
Sorry. I felt horrible. It was not a penis cake,
friends. It was an abs cake. I got a set of abs.
It was like a Chippendales.
We were, Alex and I were literally eating McDonald's and I said, shit. Oh my gosh. Megan just messaged me. I effed up. How do I delete it? How do I delete it on my mobile phone? Like this is the time.
It was much more difficult.
Like websites were just becoming mobile friendly. Yeah. There wasn't that. Not everything was mobile friendly. So I was like, how do I delete it, Alex?
Probably,
I don't know what to do. I was like,
we can probably still find those photos. Hashtag tie. the knot.
Tie the knot.
Oh my gosh, that was so fun. Oh yeah, it was before I even got to my party, wasn't it? It was like I'm traveling on the road to get there and I see it.
I honestly don't know if any of us could run for office because of what those
I mean, really though, like that, I mean, really, what is going to happen maybe 10 years when our age group really does start running for office? All this stuff is going to surface.
Right. And that's another good point, too, in regards to like our children and what we're posting. Like, are we setting them up for like things just for in the future when they're looking for things?
That's true.
And jobs, like, is this, I mean, that brings up an actual important part of social media is what you're posting on behalf of your child or of your child going to affect them in their careers in the future, depending on what career that they choose? Is it, you know, and then can jobs do things about it because it was posted on social media without technically their consent, but their parents?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I would never not hire someone because their mom posted something about them when they were a child that was, even if it was totally inappropriate or their child was like a dick and whatever, I still probably wouldn't hold it against them. I'm a horrible kid. But I have to say, I've noticed Charlie, my husband, has definitely taken a step back since he's started a graduate program at the campus that he works at. So he's connecting more with professors and administrators, and the president of the university follows him on Facebook and Twitter. And I have seen his behavior change a lot more because while I don't know that he'll ever run for anything, he is aligning himself with
professional
higher, like a professional higher education, a degree that would allow him to run for something if he wanted to. So, and we've had those conversations before, and I also have said to him, you picked the wrong wife because I'm not appropriate. Like, I am not the first wife. Like, I can't be appropriate. Well, yeah,
between Jeremy and Charlie, the two of them, they're screwed. They'll never be able to run for office.
Yeah. I know. You all saw that going away video.
You guys, I went to college with them. I could never run for office. I'm in that.
You're in that video.
What are we going to do when our kids who know how to use technology are able to find
those
things?
When the cloud is like, when they can hack into the cloud and find those things. But so it's interesting you said this whole thing about the backing off of a little bit of the social media and stuff. So I don't know how I turned it on talking about technology. I don't know how I turned it on, but somehow on my iPhone, I get this weekly report of my screen time. And I don't know if you guys get this, but so once a week I get a little notification that says your weekly screen time has gone up or gone down by blank percent for a total or for an average of blank amount every day. And I've made it a personal mission to make sure that it goes down every week when I get it. And I think I've actually been very consistent. And it was scary because there was one day where it was like my average screen time was 3 hours or 3.5 hours, but let's think about that. I work an 8.5 hour day plus now 3.5 hours on my phone. Literally 12 hours of my day almost is completely taken away from the things that are actually important. My son and my husband, right? And my dog. But so I was like, okay, I can't, that can't be okay. It needs to, on average, that daily needs to be so much less.
It's so crazy. I mean, social media kind of has created
absolutely
zombies. Yeah. Almost, where I mean, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, what's on Instagram?
I have a question.
What can I post today? And when then I get anxiety when I don't get likes right away. And I'm like, I got to delete this. Nobody likes it.
When was the last time you guys sat through a movie on the couch and didn't pick up your phone?
Never.
Right?
Well, A, I can't sit through a movie because obviously, but B, a half hour show.
I can't, okay, before Elijah was born and like, you know, weekends were time to just literally binge watch TV. I did that all day long. I sat on my couch and watched whatever. I don't know. That wasn't that long ago. That was what, 5-6 years ago. I couldn't do that now. I can't get through an hour.
So actually, this is sort of off topic, but I just had told you both that Charlie and I the other night had time together, and he just finished the semester for school. So he wasn't studying, he wasn't reading, which is rare. And we sat on the couch together and watched the second half of Bad Moms, like the first one. And he, first of all, neither one of us had our phones on us. So that was amazing. So we did actually just sort of like snuggle and talk and laugh and engage. But also he realized that women and moms are rock stars. And has now since changed behavior, like, incredibly. But I noticed that night, we had such a good night together because we didn't have our phones on us, which is really hard to do because I think that at the end of a long day, you've been working, you've been parenting, you want to check in with your friends. Like, you sort of want to say, hey, what's everyone doing? How are you? How are your kids? You want to check in with your family and say, this is what my kid's up to this week. You know, we had dress up day at school or whatever it is. That's how people connect now. And I am not good at balancing that plus being present when I finally have time with my husband.
It's hard because you want to zone out. You want to zone out. You want to check in and zone out. And how do you do that and balance that home time?
It's kind of that mindless action. I think we do so much and use our brains so much during the day, especially as moms, especially as working moms, that you want that thing that you can just kind of stare at and not really pay attention to, but kind of pay attention to, where you're not really using a huge capacity of your brain. And that's what social media is. Like, double tap. I liked it. Like, it doesn't take too much to do things on social media. And I think it's the idea of easy access. It's that idea of instant gratification. It's something I know that I learned about in college. I was a communications major, and that's another thing about social media with kids these days. They want that instant. They want everything this instant now because everything's at your hands. Those likes and everything is at their hands. So they don't know how to be patient. They don't know how to appreciate the quality of things, and they want the quantity of things. And as parents, we kind of have to learn how to teach our kids and combat that idea of all these things that are streaming towards them with social media. And it's hard because, one, what kid really wants to listen to their parent? And two, social media is way cooler than I am, you know?
One of the other topics that sort of I kept picking up when I was reading a bunch of articles was the sort of new invention of this mom guilt. Now, I don't mean mom guilt is a new invention, but the way we talk about it is very new in the, you know, in our social media or our mainstream media, even to say sort of like hashtag mom guilt, hashtag guilty mom or whatever. And I know I feel like this all the time. Gina, you actually posted something the other day about you were like, a few hours without my kids, so excited, gonna relax. And then you had like a blanket over your head and you're like, I missed them already. And I relate to that so much because I feel like the minute I'm always like frustrated. I want a minute alone. I just want to go to the bathroom alone. I just want to shower without you coming in. Like, and then I actually have time without them and I miss them and I feel guilty that I didn't want to be
okay
around.
So
I say that I only have one kid. I don't know what I'm
doing. Okay, so I'm just going to be the one that says, I don't feel bad.
No, you're still right.
When I get my alone time away from him, I do not care. Yes, I miss him and I want to know what he's doing, but I do not care. I go, he is with whoever. Bye-bye. Hope you're having fun, because I'm having my time now. And yeah, I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
You know what, Alex? I'm so impressed by that. I've actually said that to Charlie directly about you. I'm like, she can work out on a weeknight because she doesn't mind leaving. I need to find a way to not mind leaving because I won't leave on a weeknight. Because I don't see her in the morning before she goes to school, like before she wakes up. And even when I did, though, even when I worked closer to home and I would see her for an hour in the morning, I would pick her up and it just felt like that's my time with her. That's the time I'm supposed to be home. I feel like I'm supposed to make dinner, pick up her playroom with her, like play games, make arts and crafts, snuggle, do the whole bath, bed, rock her to sleep. Like that's what I'm supposed to do. So doing something else is not okay.
But it totally is.
Even though it is. I know it is. Yeah. I just can't make myself
feel that way.
Feel less Yeah. Because then the few times I have like tried to take a yoga class, or I at one point like tried to sign up for a women's basketball league. And every time I left, I just felt shitty. And then I felt to the point where like, I don't want to leave anymore. It's not worth it to me. I'm going to have a shitty workout, or I go and I'm pissy playing basketball because I felt like I left something I'm not supposed to leave.
Do you feel like social media has added in that guilt, or has helped you in realizing that those things that you do want to do on your own are okay?
Honestly, both.
Like, have you seen
things like both? Like, people like Alex, who, not just Alex, not just my friends, but when people talk about like leaning out, or, you know, just doing what you got to do for you, I relate to that. I'm like, yeah, do what I got to do for me. But then when I see other, those like, you know, perfect Pinteresty prim and proper moms, I'm like, ugh, gonna be like this. So I don't know.
Is that how they talk?
Yes. That's what they sound like in my head.
I can imagine Megan looking at those pictures and having a whole dialogue like, oh my gosh, I'm with my kids. Look at me. Look at my perfect white tees, and like, I'm doing kick-ass.
Oh,
that
sounds terrible. Like, yeah.
Kinkella, it's a thing.
Why is that a thing?
Like, oh my gosh.
No.
These things that are happening that, like, why can't just, like, playing at a playground with your kid be a thing? Why does it have to be playing in a playground that's made of bubbles? Like, why does it have to be this huge, grand thing?
Everything is a thing. Yeah. One of the other terms that I liked when I was reading was oversharenting.
Yes.
The fact was, basically, of 2,000 people surveyed, 79% said that other parents overshare on social media, yet only 32% of us think that we overshare ourselves. And the term that was coined was called oversharenting. And I thought that was interesting. So I wanted to see what you thought. Alex, what do you think?
I definitely would say I do think that other people overshare, and I try to err on the side of not posting than posting, but I do post and I probably do overshare. And it was, I don't know if it was that parents article or somewhere else, but I read somewhere that there was this like story that someone had posted on Facebook, a photo of their child's potty with a poop in it. And like,
Gina, your face.
Like, well, yes, great. They are potty training. It's going well. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
There's probably a better way to post that. And I think that's kind of where it comes into play, is not so much that you're posting about your kids. Well, definitely you could overpost, but it's not so much that you're posting about your kids, but it's what you're posting and how you're posting it that can just be a little much. Like, I didn't need to see that. You know, like when there's something like a Facebook article that might have an image that could be sensitive, it like blurs it. Like, we need that.
They could have easily put a poop emoji and it would have been way funnier.
Right. Like a poop emoji with a smiley over face. It. Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, nobody wants to see real live poop.
No.
No.
I mean, no. Text your best friend. I've texted poop pictures to my husband just because they were astounding poop. But I'm not going to post it on social media. I don't want people to see my huge ass logs.
This is Megan's topic. Because Charlie and I text each other our poops like frequently. Because you guys know I have like little rabbit pellets. They're just so little. And I'll be so amazed that there were like 42 pellets in there that I'll take a photo and send it to him. So at least I'm not the only one. But I would never post that on Facebook.
No. Yeah.
If you're not going to post it about yourself, you shouldn't post it about your kid.
Yeah. My husband's a nurse. So yeah, of course I text him pictures of things because I'm concerned about my bowel movement. But I'm not going to be like, hey, world. What do you think this means? What do you think this little thing in my poop means? I don't think I overshare. I know I overpost. I post a lot. I'm an Instagram.
That's
slut.
Actually a different thing. I don't think you're an Instagram slut. That's like an official thing.
But I also don't think you do post a lot. I mean, compared to some people that I follow who do post, it's not just one post, but maybe a couple posts plus the ongoing Insta stories all day long. When I go onto my Insta story and it has 50 little lines at the top, I don't want to watch that. That's right. Like if there's like five or six, sure. You know, or if I haven't been on for full 24 hours, that's a different story. But
so Dina, I'm just looking at your Instagram right now and I'm not going to lie. Like there's just not enough of your hot husband on here. last time there's a John photo is February 17th. And he's wearing sunglasses and a hood, so you can't even see him.
And that's because he doesn't post about me. So he posts about himself on his Instagram. People need to see my hot ass. So enough of John. Instagram page is of me.
Hey, but he picked out those swimsuits that show off your hot ass. True. So
my husband's an ass bag, so he picked out swimsuits that basically go up my ass crack and just show my derriere.
You've got a good little booty that's now getting in better shape because you've
also,
been
also he has a good
climbing,
sense of fashion.
He'll be ready for some clothes that look good on you.
Yeah. You guys, John, I'm telling you, I don't have my husband has better
fashion than
I do.
He always has picked out.
He picks out my clothes.
I will be like, oh, Gina, I really like that outfit, and you'll
he
say
picks
John
out my
picked
children's
it out.
Clothes.
And I just don't even understand that because John Charlie can't even pick out his own clothes. Never mind mine. I can't even pick out my own clothes, so I would never expect that Charlie can. But
you guys, I mean, this is the yin and yang of our relationship. He knows fashion, picks out my stuff. I take care of our kids. I know how to do that.
There you go. Like, there's your yin and yang.
Our relationship is my fashion, which I think it's because he sees my body the way it is instead of me seeing my body the way I think it is. And so he knows what clothes will accentuate what he wants to see. And what is good about my body, and which is great because that kind of lifts my self-confidence. But because I totally have body issues.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally have, especially after being pregnant. Like, let's be real, post-mental body image is a thing after being pregnant.
Yeah.
And
it's a whole nother
thing. That will be probably a separate topic on a later episode, but it's a whole nother. Probably an hour-long episode, but it's probably a whole other episode, but yeah.
Well, it's all related. I think in regards to oversharing or oversharing in general, even with body image, I think that there's a lot of people who are either documenting their weight loss journey or their fitness journey, or they become like beach body coaches, which yes, I think is bullshit. But there's so much messaging that it only makes my insecurities – it mostly makes my insecurities worse. Yeah. I mean, obviously there are sometimes when you're kind of like, okay, that person looks awesome. They've been in my shoes or similar shoes. So there's going to be a day when I can look awesome too. Maybe today's not my day. Like, this is not my journey right now, but it does, there's like hope, or it's like light at the end of the tunnel someday.
No, but I think that's what you have to take away from all the social media stuff. Just whether it's a personal body issue or the like mom guilt or any like the effects of what social media might be doing to us and our kids, take away from it is that this is their journey. This is our journey. This is where I am now. That doesn't mean I can't be there at some point if I want to be.
Yeah.
And they may be where I am now, you know? And I think that's what we have to take away from that and just make sure that's kind of in the forefront of our minds when we go through all these photos all the time, that we're all on our
different
journeys.
I mean, I do have to say that's the one thing I love about social media is how it's kept me connected with you all, with everybody, but especially you ladies. And today is our sort of anniversary. And so, Gina, do you want to just tell the story? Because you did such a good job today on our Insta story, and I feel like you could do it again.
Palm Springs, May 5th, 2018, about a year ago, we all got together. And really, we got together because of you, Megan. You had a huge loss in your life, both with your grandmother and a baby, and you needed that time away. And we just kind of corralled and picked out a date and came together. And it became more of a weekend of us, I feel like, coming together in a whole new way. I mean, we have been friends for years, like 10 plus years. And yeah, we've talked and we've shared some things, but I feel like the content that we were sharing with each other that day was just so much more personal that it made our relationship stronger. And because of that, we decided that we wanted to kind of commemorate it and always remember that special bond in Palm Springs that was created. And so we each got tattoos. Liz didn't because she was pregnant. But we are still holding you accountable, Shelly.
As soon as you're done breastfeeding, it's happening.
We each got a tattoo of a palm tree, and that's one of the reasons why we decided that on our logo, we wanted to get a palm tree as well. It also lends to why we created this podcast. I mean, what makes I feel our village a little bit more special is the fact that we are all so different, and we've grown up in very different ways. I mean, we've been talking about that all throughout this episode of how we each have our backstories, and we definitely, each of us had very different backstories, very different ways we were raised, yet somehow we managed to communicate and respect each other and strengthen our bonds because I feel like we are able to communicate, and that's our story.
Didn't we leave saying we'll always have the palm trees?
I think we were more so talking,
to change what you both said, but I think we were also talking about how we had all spent our sort of younger years, our 20s in LA, and how really none of us are really in LA anymore. Alex, I mean, you're sort of still there, but you're still in LA, but Gina and Liz have both moved out. I've moved to Massachusetts. So while we probably won't all ever live in LA again, we were sort of commemorating also, we'll always have LA. We'll always have the years that we grew up here together. And I mean, not from our childhood, but like in our 20s, we grew up together. But also since then, we went from sort of like passively texting each other when big things would happen to daily conversations on Marco Polo, where everything major and everything minor was discussed. I mean, we were talking about our outfits, our clothes, our hair, our makeup, all the way to like major marital issues and depression and guilt and career changes and education and every topic. So we were in touch so often, and we were laughing a lot, and we were crying together, that at one point we were just like, this should be a podcast, because like you said, Gina, we are so different. Like, the four of us could not be more different about where we came from and how we grew up and how we were raised. But yet being moms bonds us, like, especially because we don't live near each other. So we don't, our mom village isn't like the carpooling mom village. It isn't like the get drinks together on Fridays mom village. It's not the kick your feet up and go get a manicure mom village. It's that we have to rely on this type of communication to support each other.
We have to work at it.
Yeah. And I mean, and bringing it back around to social media, that's where social media is a plus. We are able to see each other's lives. We are able to see each other's kids. I mean, my kids think that Elijah and Penny are their cousins. I mean, we're not blood related, but I mean, we are family. And they get to.
They know, they think that our dog is your dog. True.
Yeah. Andy is our dog. Sorry. And that's where, honestly, where social media lends itself in a positive light, is it is able to connect people in new ways. And we're able to watch each other's families grow where before we weren't able to. And being able to still be a part of that relationship, I think Hayden knows who Elijah is. He knows who Penny is because he sees the pictures. We go through at night and we say, this is Penny, this is Elijah. We use Marco Polo, and the kids are able to communicate and talk to each other, and they're able to establish these relationships in different places that they weren't able to. And that is a great thing because they're not going to be trapped in like kind of this bubble. They're going to be exposed to a lot more in a good way.
So we haven't really, you know, addressed if social media is good or bad, but I don't know that it is. It is good and it is bad.
Yeah,
and
I don't think there's an answer.
You know?
There isn't. I think it's so new that people are still, we're still trying to find and figure out the way. I mean, much like life, you know, everything is new to us and we're trying to figure out the best way that we can. And I think for me, the best possible way to combat anything is through effective communication, whether it be with you guys, with my spouse, with my children, is effectively communicating our feelings to each other about certain issues, about certain things, and still talk to each other about what's good in our lives. And
yeah, I like the daily support we give each other, the lifting each other up when you feel bad or when you are whatever stressed. Or I know I've been feeling it a lot recently because of my job change, and you guys have been rock stars just reminding me that, yeah, this is tough and you're doing a great job and you you're doing this for all the right reasons. And when I'm second guessing myself, I have a team of women behind me that are cheering me on. So thank you. And I love you. And that's why social media for me will still be a thing I use every day.
Well, anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening again to Four Mom Friends. We really appreciate you checking us out. And if you like what you hear, we have more coming your way. So don't forget to click that subscribe button. We love you so much. And thank you for once again joining our village. Have a great day, guys.
Bye. See you.